Hello, I'm kind of the new guy here. A couple of months ago, I didn't even know what AFIX was, and they kind of threw me to the wolves here. So you're gonna have to bear with me just a little bit. Establishing goals during feedback sessions is the actual title, but what I really wanna add into this talk is the evaluation of the program itself that we're doing in Iowa. That was our first goal, was to evaluate our program and how we're doing visits and the quality and consistency of those visits to get good data back when we start evaluating the feedback. We do combination visits, AFIX and the VFC. This is staffing prior to my arrival. The disease prevention specialists were a part-time evaluators for us. We had about a half a person half the time doing out and conducting these visits. In that time, and up until about a month ago, we've now become fully staffed. We have three nurse clinicians that go out and do AFIX and VFC visits full time, which has really increased our number of visits. You know, we're expecting 125 visits per nurse clinician, which will give us about 60% of our VFC providers will receive a visit on an annual basis. This is another step where we've made some changes. When we're looking at prioritizing our site visits, who needs visited, how soon, what are the criteria for doing that? You know, if they haven't received a visit in the previous year, if they had a low immunization rate, storage and handling issues, or newly enrolled, we had a spreadsheet that we prioritized and tracked on that, and that's really kind of been a fundamental change in our program through our evaluation of the program, that we're not really going to focus on the immunization rate that's below 75%. That's not really what we consider we want for a goal for the program. We're trying to evaluate the process and assist the local clinics with having a better immunization process, getting more immunizations on time, keeping the children up to date. If we do those things and are successful in that, the rate will take care of itself. In concert with that, we're not going to publish clinic-specific immunization rates to anyone but them. We're going to more of a county-wide immunization rate. A couple of data sources that we use for importation into COCASA is our registry. We have a very small percentage of our VFC providers that have electronic health records and so on that do not take part in the registry for whatever reasons. So we obtain billing data using CPT codes from those providers to import in to conduct our assessments. Again, the age cohorts for the pediatric and adolescents, and that has not changed. Data verification, this is really, we've had some long discussions and the process has again changed since we've made this slide. The primary data extraction out of our registry was imported into COCASA, creating the missing immunization report and the invalid dose report. And those reports were sent to the providers to take a look at their records and to see if they've not had time, had to update things in the registry to get more accurate information to show the true rate based upon accurate information. Once we received that data back, that clean data, we would extract it again and import into COCASA to conduct the site visit. With the billing data with the CPT codes, that was just imported once. It was what it was. One of our fundamental discussions was, why should we take a snapshot in time to do this evaluation and give them the opportunity to clean their data? What we're really trying to focus on is the process to create clean data the first time through. Not creating, enabling that atmosphere that says, well, you can enter what you want, we'll let you clean the data so you can have a pretty rate, instead of looking at the process. One of the good things that has come out of this discussion is we also did some on-site data cleanup. Prior to a week or so ago, we did not have the ability to extract a date of natural immunity for the varicella from our registry in Icocasa. We now have that problem fixed so that we don't have to wait, look at a chart, come up with a date, and put it in Icocasa right there on site to accurately reflect the immunization status of these children. 24 months of age or older at the time of the first visit, influenza only, specialty clinics, or moved or gone elsewhere, were other data elements that prior to now we were cleaning up on site by working with the clinic, going through record review, and trying to come up with that perfect number of the accurate rate instead of looking at the process. Are moved or gone elsewhere, definition, a patient that no longer receives immunization services from a healthcare provider due to one of the following. Their record was transferred, they're under care of a different facility, the parent or guardian states that they're now being seen by another service, recall notice is returned with the forwarding address out of their service area, lost follow-up was another piece of that moved or gone elsewhere. The lost to follow-up was an easy answer to make your rate look really good. So we put some criteria on that. A minimum of 3 separate attempts using 2 different methods of contact must be documented before you can utilize that lost to follow-up checkbox to take them out of that assessment to say that they're not really your patient. And again, documentation of multiple missed appointments is not adequate to meet that moved or gone elsewhere a definition. So to get ready, as we're going through this data cleanup and the changes that we've implemented, we took it one step further and looked at that feedback session. Prior to our assessment staff coming on site, going through all of this data cleanup prior to and on site to create the perfect number, now would have been the time that we would have had to print our reports on site to show the numbers, to go back through the feedback session, and we're not doing that. By looking at the data as is from what the clinics have put into the immunization registry or their CPT codes, we're really taking a snapshot, and we're getting a little pushback on that because some of the rates don't, it's hard to explain to your boss why you went from a 90% to a 50. But really the purpose of this is the process. The number is irrelevant. You fix the process, the number will catch up. So now we can have those reports pre-printed, we can have everything ready to go, and we can spend some good quality time during this feedback session with individuals, and our goal is, and when we set up visits, we want someone to attend this feedback session that has the authority to implement change in the clinic process. As we go through that and identify, because we focus on the missed opportunities and the vaccination process, much more so than the up-to-date rate. And it takes those people in the positions of power to implement that change, to hear that firsthand, so it's just not a staff member saying, well, the state said that we should really probably do this. So our goal with this feedback session is to get those individuals that can implement change to sit down and take part in that discussion. Just a few of the reports that we give to the clinics and the series. And again, you'll notice in the pediatric, we create 2 sets of reports with 3-dose HIB and 2-dose HIB series to give them a more accurate reflection of their numbers. Also in the adolescent, pulling out the 3-HPV, any of you probably all know that working with COCASA, it has a couple of issues when it starts calculating some of the HPV calculations. So we get these folks and the feedbacks and start going through the goal setting, really brainstorming with the providers to set goals based on their clinic vaccination process instead of just saying, how can I get to 100%? And part of what we're evaluating with this section now is letting the providers determine the goals to improve their own practices. Instead of the state says, you shall do this, what can I do and how can I identify things to improve my own practice to become, get a higher rate, become more efficient and effective in our goal of immunizing children. The goals are outlined in the quality written plan. They should need to be achievable. We're hoping that we have better buy-in since they're setting their own goals. And we're limiting them to focus on three goals. We've come through some preliminary data that says the more focused we can make them, the more likely we are to have them actually take action on the goals. Instead of having a whole page, it's kind of overwhelming. As a follow-up to that, the provider is contacted in 3 to 6 months following the site visit, usually by phone. Occasionally we get some opportunities just to stop in and say, hey, how's it going? What progress have you made on your goals? And what kind of feedback can we gather from that? What we're really looking for is to determine if the goals were implemented. If they were not, what barriers were in place to keep that from happening, and what was the rationale for not implementing that goal? And then, as always, offering additional consultation or resources as necessary and available. And again, from what I've been told, the process was our primary evaluation was of our methods and our quality and consistency of our site visits to make sure that we could get out and meet with the folks that we needed to meet with. And we've came a long way from a part-time staff of 2 to 3 full-time staff doing nothing but this. It's causing us some bumps in the road. We're finding issues as we go along, whether it be process, storage and handlings, but getting out there and taking part in the secondary evaluation of feedback and goal setting and implementing these goals, we really hope to take this VFC and AFIX assessment process to the next level, to really actually improve our rates. I would never tell them that, we want to increase and strengthen our process, which will affect our rates. And that is me. There you go.
Thank you, Brent. I think there are some similarities here. Both looking. I think one of the words that jumped out at me was process improvement in both cases. And I think, Brent, you showed some nice examples of what happens when you get off that focus, when you're looking just at rates and some of the negative impacts of that. So what questions? We have some time for questions. If you would go to the microphone in the middle, and just to get yourselves thinking, perhaps you're doing some sort of evaluation, and you might want to tell us about that. We'd be happy to hear about that. Perhaps you're focusing more on the process and less on the rate, and how's that going? Or again, what questions do you have for them based on the presentation?
Nathan, I'm working constantly on evaluation, just every day, day in and day out. Brent, I'm curious about, you said you only share a particular clinic's information with that particular clinic, but you're looking at it at a county by county basis. Do you share the county by county information with all the counties so they can see where they fit in with their neighbors?
Yes. The countywide assessment rate is something that we're pulling out of our registry with individuals that are attached to an immunization home. So somewhere, someone is saying, I'm responsible for this child, and looking at that rate and pulling that data and making it part of our annual report of the immunization program that we're going to publish to statewide, so that we can show a broader group of kids. It really came down to looking at, yes, this clinic has 90%, but we're only evaluating 5 children. That's not really a good representation of what's going on in that county. By looking at it from a countywide through our registry, we can get a bigger sample that we can come up with a better rate. There are limitations to that, with whether the clinics participate in the registry, whether the data is up to date. There are limitations, but we think it's a better data source to publish for a countywide rate.
Well, and it can sometimes be a way to get better participation in the registry. If you say, this is what the data shows from IRIS, and if a county's not looking that good, maybe they'll try a little harder to get more providers enrolled to look better in the next year's annual report.
We're hoping.
Thanks, Nancy.
Hi, I'm Kristen from North Dakota, and I have a couple of questions. I love the county rates. I think that would be great, but do you have the county health units being really defensive because they think it's a reflection of them? Or is it just getting them to own up more to it? Or
actually, we've been, we developed a working group of local public health agencies that helped us work through part of this process, and it's not 100% done deal. We're still refining the data set and how we report that, but we think that we're going to have really good buy-in because we have the people that, lack of a better word, scream the loudest on the working group, helping us establish that process for publishing that countywide rate, and setting the parameters of how we pull the data.
Okay, and the other question I have is, just maybe as simple as you can give it, how did you get your chickenpox disease data into COCASA from your registry?
We have some really good IT folks that talk way over my head most of the time.
I'm just wondering if you have a contact that we can take it from you or something.
Yeah, you can follow through with my contact, and I can put you in touch with our registry folks that figured that process out, because they explained it, and I really didn't understand it.
If you come up at the end, I'd be happy to talk about you with that as well.
Hi, I'm Kevin Nemkowski, University of Michigan. Great talks, really interesting. So the questions I have are for really anybody who wants to answer them. So I understand that the focus here is the primary vaccination series and understanding the process and opportunities for improvement there. So the question I have for you all, and I'm going to bring up the word that everybody's bringing up in every session is flu, but I'm not talking about H1N1, I'm talking about your ordinary even seasonal flu vaccination. Is there an opportunity here to somehow gather a little bit of intelligence about that process? I'm very curious about that because we know from historical work in other, well, not in Michigan for sure, but in other states, flu vaccination rates amongst children are dismally low, even amongst the highest risk populations. And we know that the kids are getting to see the doctors. We know that missed opportunities are a gigantic problem. And you guys are in there at these practices talking to these folks. I guess I'm kind of sensing maybe an opportunity, maybe not, of a kind of the marginal cost of looking into that might be small. So I guess, this is a question, not a statement, not an editorial. I mean, do you think that that's correct? I mean, could we do that?
Yeah, I think, to my knowledge, I don't know that people specifically address the question of what seasonal flu and missed opportunities for getting kids in for that. I don't see that it would be any more difficult to look at that as well as the rates of flu that are entered. But I think, as always, I don't know how much time people have in those individual sessions to bring up individual antigens and discuss issues around them, but I don't think there's any.
I guess I would just say I think it's worthy of consideration because I'm just kind of imagining that the marginal cost, i.e. the time, might be modest. It could be.
I agree
be.
With you.
And I think from Iowa's perspective, what the message that we're telling our assessment folks is education and training is really the priority. And some of the same similar messages will hold true for flu as well as regular immunizations. We're really, maybe it gets brought up more a little bit seasonally, but I think the message is we're trying to get all immunizations to as many children as we can on time when they're needed.
And to To speak more to Oregon's AFIX program, we're very focused on the first 3 years. I usually joke that after a kid's 3 years old, they don't exist to me anymore. But we're expanding our registry to lifespan, and we're definitely looking at doing more adolescent type stuff, and so that could definitely fall into some of the things we look at. But yeah, right now our AFIX is very focused on the primary series in the first 3 years of life.
Right, and of course, first 3 years, I mean, if you do an age-based risk, I mean, that's kind of a home run for risk. So yeah. You know, it's worthy of consideration.
No, I think it's a great idea. I don't see why it's not not doable. Obviously, it would take some extra time, and there may actually be some states doing. I wouldn't be surprised if some states are actually looking.
That's why I'm asking, because I can just
actually. The poster, I think, from California that was about some of the minority populations and doing flu with AFIX downstairs, which was interesting.
Right. Thank you very much.
Makes sense. Thanks.
John Flynn, CDC, Minnesota Department of Health. I want to thank all of you for your presentations. I think this is a real important discussion. I'm curious, in terms of the evaluation purposes and looking at AFIX as a quality improvement initiative, we're looking at something similar in Minnesota, and wondering how you're thinking about possible confounders in terms of the improvements that you're seeing within the clinical practice. We're having some discussion in Minnesota, and just wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Okay, so I can speak to that. So I did that last graph that I showed was from a previous study that I did that was just looking at our rates from 2001 to 2008. And there was, that was the first thing that I looked at was, how much are rates just increasing generally? And the answer was, over that span, they went up by, I want to say, about 12%. So what I tried to do when I was looking at those numbers was to adjust the rates to what that annual average was, to kind of cancel out some of that noise. And so that last graph you looked at really was really boiling it down on a year-by-year basis to see how they were doing in the context of how every other provider was doing. Because, and then you have things like the HIB shortage, and there's so many things that influence rates outside of AFIX that it's really hard to see an improvement and say that AFIX caused that.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add to that is partially why this process evaluation is important, is that it's looking at things that impact rates that are not focusing just on the rates as the outcome, but just looking at interactions at the provider level. So I think the fact that there are so many nuances that impact up-to-date rates is a big problem of why AFIX remains to be, people think it works, but the answer for how exactly it works is yet to be defined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, next.
Hi, Ruth Gubernick from New Jersey. I always find AFIX is such a valuable tool. Sometimes though in the practices that we work with, they set goals, but I found that it's really valuable if as part of that process they also kind of learn some methodology so that they can, if they're going to do improvement, that they're not just, sometimes they get so excited about it and they go back and they want to do reminder recall and they just implement something and it ends up causing more problems and doesn't help and it's really difficult, as opposed to really having them understand quality improvement process where tests of change and just try it for a day or try it, see how it is before you make these policy decisions in an organization. So using the COCASA reports or measures like that, but also taking the time, we've done it with working with the AEP in New Jersey and the primary care practices, so that they learn the methodology too. And it's really incredible because they use it then not just for immunizations but to improve other types of processes within their organization after we go away and we think, oh, how much of an impact do we have? And it's great to see. So that's my suggestion, is use these tools but also kind of partner with those other people who can help with not just setting goals, that the practice sets their own goals, but they also can have a process for getting there.
Yeah, and I think we mentioned that 6-month follow-up. I think that's a really important component, which unfortunately we just have, our program has not had the time to do in the last year, but going back 6 months later and asking them, have they implemented their goals? Have you implemented the suggestions we've made? How's that going for you? Instead of just having them set goals, giving them rates, and then leaving and coming back a year later and doing it all over again.
Yeah. Good. No, I think that's a great point, making sure they understand the whys and the hows behind the tools so it's sustainable once you leave. Yeah. Next.
Good afternoon. In the Virgin Islands, we started doing assessments for flu vaccine, and it was a real eye-opener how low they were. So it is important to really assess flu. But the second thing, I was just curious with Brent, where you publish the results of the rates for your counties, and in what venue do you publish this?
We create a report of basically what our bureau has done, some of the highlights on an, it's going to be on an annual basis that the powers that be can take also across the street to the legislature and say immunization has done great things, here's what they are, looking at trying to make one overarching report that we can publish for the bureau. We have several listservs with our providers that we can put that out, as well as on our website to make it accessible. Because we really, I know I'm kind of the new guy, but I think the program has done some remarkable things and we need to showcase that. And we need to get that message out as far and as wide as we can. We have to make ourselves, make them think they can't live without us.
I'm Greta McFarland. I'm from Kansas, and I'm a pediatrician involved with education through a program for immunization improvement in the office setting with the Academy of Pediatrics. Our particular branch of this is called MOBI, Kansas, and we pattern this off of Ohio. MOBI stands for Maximizing Office-Based Immunizations. So we're trying to partner, kind of like the New Jersey lady is, and our biggest concern, we've just been in this program now 3 years, and we're very excited about the progress we're making with family practice as well as with pediatric offices, because primarily of the same comment that she had made with the process. The idea is that we're in it for the long haul. We're not just there for the 3 months or the 6 month thing. And of course, we've been involved with the AFIX coming into our offices, and the ones that didn't have COCASA, and if they had COCASA, we interchanged them. But one of the biggest challenges that we have is that keeping everybody excited, and we are in the process of changing our program so that we are interacting more often. To begin with, we talked with them a month after the training, 6 months, and then a year after that. And so we are looking at whether or not there's ways of improving that that excitement and helping them focus on the process, because I agree, I think the process is what the whole thing is all about. And you change, you have attrition, different people give the shots this month than they did 6 months ago, so you have to continually go over that. So anyway, we're always looking for new ideas as to how to keep things happy and exciting for the long haul. So if you've got some other ideas with that, I would like to hear that.
Well, I don't know that they're new ideas, but now that we have 3 full-time staff that go out and do this, we have broken the state into regions. We've assigned them to that region. Number one, so that we can get out more often. You know, my perfect world goal of what I want them to do is I want to see every provider every year. They tell me I'm unreasonable, but we're going to make it happen one way or the other. At the very least, getting out there twice a year. But I also want them to take the opportunity while they're driving across our great state to stop in and provide ongoing education, just to let them know that we're there. I've really made that a priority for them to say, we want you to be the face of the immunization program in these clinics, and I want them to see you and know you, and I want you to be in there, whether you're doing a visit or just stopping in to say, hi, how's it going? Let's go have it, you know, grab a bite to eat. I think that's where I've put the challenge onto our assessment staff to create and keep that excitement going by getting into the clinics and talking with the people. And instead of just being this, hi, we're the state, we're here to help, mentality to actually get in and be a partner. So we'll see if it works.
And I think that we also have, you know, in that last graph we showed you, you know, it seems like each year something different happens to the clinic when, you know, when they participate in AFIX year after year. And so it's, you know, if a clinic's been participating for a while, you can't really use a one-size-fits-all approach, and that is going to get very, very dull. And so if we learn that in the first year that first they're catching up all their kids, you know, we really, you know, can focus on that. And then in years after that, we can start focusing more on their on-time rate, or, you know, it's sort of identifying, you know, more specific areas of improvement based on their participation history or things of that nature. And also, as you know, as Brent said a lot, de-emphasizing the rates. You know, Oregon AFIX used to be very, very rate heavy, and we decided to scale that back. And then we also received that guidance from the CDC to start scaling back the focus on rates and talk more about process. And so we try to keep it engaging and, you know, applicable to the clinic who's doing it.
Colleen Haggerty from the New Hampshire Immunization Program, and thanks for the presentations. They were great. In New Hampshire, this is our second year of really reevaluating our process too, and we've really changed it a lot. And we really do not focus so much on the rate. It has its place. I don't think it's unimportant, but it really is about the process. And it's very hard to go into a practice that, and we were doing this, that may have 12 records that you were assessing and give them a terrible rate, but their vaccine storage and handling, all their VFC compliance things were stellar. You'd go to a sister practice of theirs that had 100% rate, but I would walk in and find expired vaccine, they weren't doing the VFC screening, all of this type of stuff, and it just was not working. So we had feedback actually as recently as last week from a provider office that called and said, wow, you know, we appreciate the collaboration with the immunization program, we feel like the education is there, that you're partnering with us, that you're not walking in and shaking your finger at us, and that makes me feel great, because that's really what we're trying to do. And the other thing I'll just share, we have a checklist that has all the VFC high priority questions on it, and that last page, there is a place to put the rate, but there's also a place for items that need immediate attention, those non-negotiables. You know, if you're not doing that VFC screening, you're charging too much for a vaccine administration fee, you need to fix it. And you've got a set amount of time, and that's indicated on this form how soon you've got to do it. But there's also an area for process improvement that the healthcare provider practice can choose. And they write down those goals, which I think is very important too, because then they're kind of invested in it. And it's their goal for their specific situation, not something that we think they should be doing necessarily.
Yeah, and on your first point, if we have a clinic that has maybe 10 kids, we usually try to talk them even out of getting an assessment because the rate is just going to be pretty much useless to them. Really talk more about individual kids and their process.
Hello, I'm Tasha from North Dakota, and I just wanted to talk or tell you a little bit about what we do to keep our providers interested in their AFIX visit. Besides, you know, trying to generate interest with the actual provider, in, you know, the physicians and the non-licensed staff, like you talked about, when we go there. Afterward, we send out awards to our rate winners, but we also send out what we call the naughty letters, and those are to the CEOs of, like, the health systems, or the CEO, whoever is on top of the clinic or public health, whatever kind of system that they have. If they had a rate below 70%, we send them a letter and detail all of their clinic's rates. And we explain that we'll be visiting next year. And we've really had a lot of positive feedback with that. We actually had one practitioner that sent in an entire list of the things that she had done to contact the families of the 8 children in her practice who weren't up to date. So we've had a lot of positive feedback with that.
Great, thanks.
Hi,
one more?
Alice, I'm from, sorry, are we out of time?
Nope, one more,
okay.
Go ahead.
I'm from New York State in a local health department, and that we do the AFIX visits. And I love the idea of getting away from the rate, but you know, we've given sort of incentives of certificates of recognition if you meet the goal. So what would be an alternative incentive? Doctors really like incentives.
I guess I will answer this from Iowa's perspective, or at least mine. Each of the clinics that we go out and do these assessments have the COCASA program and can run their own numbers to create that rates. But I really think that, and it's a year down the road because we don't know how this is going to play out by not looking at the rates, but hopefully that we can show improvement in process and create the same kind of reward system for that you would a rate. because you'll be able to see that because the rate will come up. Hopefully, I think that's the end goal of this whole process.
So a year-to-year improvement, because our docs, a lot of them aren't even participating in the registry, never mind being able to run a COCASA, but if we went back and said, you know, good for you, you're up 5% or 10%. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I don't think you can completely ignore the rate, but I don't think we need to emphasize it as much as that we have of saying, here's a line you shall not cross or we're gonna come back. I think that doesn't promote the atmosphere that we want to have within our visits. Yeah. So
I think it's a process too of choosing outcome measure, process measures like missed opportunities or invalid doses, some, you know, other things besides the up-to-date rate, and finding ways to incentivize those. You know, so you know, lowest missed opportunity rate or best improved. You know, those sorts of things, or you know, yeah, and they might get a plaque or a piece of paper or a certificate or write their name up in a local, you know, newsletter. So
yeah,
I think
we do that, and it does work well. People, you know,
good. Yeah, good.
Great.
Yeah, great.
Everyone wants a pat on the back.
Yes, and why not?
I mean, it really, well, you get more, you will get a lot better response if you can, you know, show that recognition of, hey, you know what, you really did do a good job. We're not here just to point the finger and point out the things that you did bad.
Yeah.
You're really doing good things, and we need to recognize those folks for that because they do remarkable things.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here today. Enjoy the rest of your conference.